Ladies and gentlemen, we finally have Donovan Jones on today, which it seems like it's been a couple months since we've been trying to get this to happen, and it's finally happened, so I'm so happy that that is today. Be sure to listen through the whole conversation because it's a really, really great conversation. And also, after you're done listening to this episode, definitely go check out Donovan's podcast. He has like 40-something episodes, so there's hours and hours of Donovan content that you can go listen to. The Call to Act podcast, I'll have all of his links and stuff down below in the description. Just go click on him, show him a little love for coming on here. So that is about it. There's nothing really I want to say because it's already an hour conversation without intros and outros. There is one thing, and that is because it's over the phone and I didn't have any wired microphones. It doesn't have crisp sound quality. Don't know if that bothers you, but if it does, just you won't notice it after a couple minutes. So definitely just tune in, even though it's not going to be as crisp as my normal episodes. It's a great conversation. He's a great guy. Definitely show him some love. Give him a good rating, guys. He's definitely a great guy. So without further ado, let's just jump into our conversation. Enjoy, guys. That I wanted to do, you know, about the time of October. That clearly didn't happen. We've kind of had to push off multiple times, haven't we?
But yeah, that seems like it's always something coming up, but it always happens whenever it's supposed to. It always happens about timing, so.
That's very true. So today we're here to talk about this, and you can see why this was supposed to be around that Halloween time.
Right. We're
talking about exorcism movies. Are they good? Are they beneficial? Or are they something that God wouldn't be proud of us taking part in? Donovan, so just a little icebreaker. Is there a time in your childhood that you can think of as we're on this little scary movie, you know, conversation?
Yeah.
Is there a time where you have gotten scared, like that stands out in your mind?
Well, I was always kind of a nervous kid, so I can think of a lot of times, but one that was kind of funny. And I have no idea why I was like this way, but whenever I was a kid, I was always scared that I was going to get left. Like my parents were going to leave or, you know, at church, you know, they wouldn't come pick me up or whatever. And, so I remember this one time I was probably 4 years old, three or four, something like that. They, dropped us off at our grandparents' house, me and my little sister. And she's 2 years younger than me, and we were going to stay with them for a couple days and then go back home. And we woke up the next morning, and I went downstairs, and usually anytime I stayed with my grandparents, you know, she would be down there cooking breakfast, and, you know, we'd come down and eat or whatever. But this morning I came down there, and she was nowhere to be seen. And so I was like, oh, gosh, it's happened. We've been left. And so I went back upstairs and woke up my sister. And at that time, we lived in Knoxville, Tennessee, and my grandparents lived in Helen, Georgia. So it's a pretty good little drive. And so I woke my sister up and I said, pack your stuff. We're going to walk back to Knoxville. And I said, you know, our grandparents left us and, you know, I was terrified. So we packed all our stuff up and we walk outside. And as soon as we walk out, start walking down the hill, my grandparents start laughing and they're sitting on the front porch drinking coffee. And I was like, oh my gosh. So. Yeah, that was, it's a little lighthearted, but yeah, I was scared to death.
Yeah, no, that's one of my biggest, or was my biggest fears. One time I was at, this is going on the trail of parents leaving us or grandparents leaving us.
Right.
I used to take this marine, that's what I like doing. So I was working on boats and all that stuff. Class is over. I didn't have a license. So I was waiting for my mom, obviously, to come pick me up.
Right.
30 minutes pass, and I'm sitting with the teacher.
Oh, no.
It's right at lunchtime, so he's ready to go to lunch. And I'm like, you know what? I'll just walk home. I was nervous. All I have is sisters, and, you know, it's just a bunch of women. And I'm like, oh, no, something terrible has happened.
Yeah.
So it's probably a good mile and a half, 2 miles away from where I lived. And I start walking, and I get right around the corner from my house. And I see my mom pull up in her little white minivan with like this just like
pale white face, thinking that I'm gonna be mad at her, and I couldn't help but laugh. But
Yeah.
yeah, that was one of my biggest fears when I was little, is mom would leave me.
Yeah, I always thought that too. I was always, as soon as like Sunday, children's church would be over and we'd go back to the back of the church with the parents to pick you up, I was always like, they're not going to come get us. You know, what are we going to do? You know, that type of thing. I don't know why that was, but you know, they never left us or anything. So I don't know what the deal was with that.
That's kind of interesting, like just to think about the helplessness of a child and
Yeah.
how they are really nothing without their parents, and how often God says, yeah, have childlike faith. You
Yeah,
know,
that's right.
don't think you're too highly of yourself. Trust in me. That was one of my fears. But there's when I wrote that question, I specifically thought of this one time. I was probably 4 years old. I don't know. I was young. And there was a movie that came out around that time. And I'm not going to say what the movie was because I don't want anybody looking it up. I'm sure it wasn't a good movie, but just the trailer came on. And it had Alvin and the Chipmunks in it. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. I used to love Alvin and the Chipmunks. So I'm watching this trailer, and out of nowhere, like they were singing the Christmas songs. And out of nowhere, like they get into this like heavy metal, like their eyes turn red, and like, oh gosh, dude, I was freaked out. Never again, never again. Well, I was like, nope, don't ever want to watch Alvin and the Chipmunks again.
Oh man, so it ruined it for you.
I cried so
Oh man.
hard, dude. I think we were at a family reunion, and my uncle was watching the trailer for it. So, yeah.
Yeah, I guess I don't need to be showing my son that. My son is 4 and he's all about Alvin and the Chipmunks, so
Yeah.
he's all over that, so.
Yeah, man, I don't even know. I don't even remember what the name was. I just have speculation on what the movie was. But man, I had a lot of random fears when I was little, and Alvin and the Chipmunks was one of them for a little while.
Well,
One
I
of
guess
my
so after seeing something like that. Dang it, yeah.
Yeah. No, one of my fears right now, actually, which is like one of the most irrational fears, if I'm working at my church, I'm always cautious about this. Okay, so those T18 light bulbs, the big light bulbs that you put in, like, yeah. Whew. Have you ever seen one of those things explode? Oh my. I hate holding those things in my hand. I feel like
Yeah.
it's just, ugh.
I
Yep,
kind of feel
don't
that
like
way
that.
anytime I screw in any light bulb. I'm like, I hope I don't tighten this thing too tight and it just shatters on me.
Because I've seen like probably in movies or something. I don't even know if it's real, but like when those things shatter, like they just crazy, crazy stuff.
And I have a tendency too to my wife always gets on to me because if I put like the juice back in the fridge or whatever, she always says I tighten it too tight, the lid. So, you know, and I don't mean to, but it's like, hopefully I don't ever
Just
screw in a light bulb this tight and it busts
yeah.
on me. Yeah. So
No, that would not be good. I'm
no,
pretty sure that wouldn't end up well.
that'd be a bad day.
But yeah. All we could go on a random, long random conversation on all the fears that I've had or currently do have. Okay, but let's jump right into it since we got a lot of stuff to cover. So what is your personal and horror? I don't want to talk about horror movies because that's a broad spectrum. You got all sorts of things to talk about there. But on specifically exorcism movies, demon possession, those kind of things. Like, I guess, what's your opinion on it?
Specifically like exorcism type movies, I feel like what Hollywood really tries to do is they try to make demon possession, anything involving satanic arts or anything like that, they try to make it into something that seems like it's make-believe, like it's a joke, like it's something that's just cute and oh, this is just f a fun little time to go watch this and get scared. Oh, it's so scary. And trying to downplay it to where we don't take it seriously. Because like C.S. Lewis, I've read a couple of his books, and in one of his books, I believe it's the Screwtape Letters, he says that the devil wants us to have that vision in our mind that he is the little red character with the pitchfork and the horns, right? Because that's silly, that's funny, that's not real, you know. So if he can get us to think that this stuff is just a joke, like it's not for real, then he can do the most damage, you know what I'm saying? Because when we're confused or we're not aware of what the agenda is behind that stuff, that's where he can work his way in there and get to you because you're not scared of it. You just think it's a funny, cute little joke.
No, I would agree with that. And if I could add on to that, I almost feel like it almost romanticizes the idea of the unknown. I mean, That's what horror is supposed to do. A good horror movie, which just to get it out in the open, I enjoy the genre of being scared, like thrillers. I've always enjoyed those kind of things.
Yeah.
Obviously, there come with horror movies, there comes a lot of problematic content. So sure. I don't just willy-nilly go into whatever, but I like that feeling of the unknown.
Yeah.
And like you said, they almost make it feel like make-believe. Like if I'm watching a monster movie, I get that same vibe when I'm watching, you know, an exorcism movie.
Yeah.
And there's almost like us as humans, we like spectacle. We like the unknown.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, actually, I know people personally who have dabbled in the art of witchcraft because people make it seem unknown and like it romanticizes that.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's a big problem when we take something that's very real and make people wonder, okay, yeah, like, but how real is it? And those are real questions that we have. The reason I wanted to bring this up specifically is because one of my coworkers and one of my dear friends, he came up to me and he was like, so what does the Bible say about exorcisms and demons and stuff?
Yeah.
And he came, he a completely nice guy, but he came at me like asking whether it's real or not. Like that's the way these movies make them seem, not even movies, but like you read the books and stuff like that. It's not just movies, but just that idea of it might not, like people don't know if it's real or not. So then they let their guard down. And yeah, that is a dangerous game. Do you have anything else you want to add on to that?
Well, no, I agree with all everything that you're saying. I think that's absolutely right. And I think one thing that us as Christians is we need to find out about a lot of this stuff. I think that these are topics, and I'm glad that this is something that you're trying to dive into. Like, I don't think we need to get into it so deep where we become like obsessed with it, but I think we need to be aware of these things, because like the Bible tells us, like, we are not unaware to the enemy's schemes. Like, we know what he's trying to do. But for a non-believer, knowing that you're a Christian, they're going to come to you with questions, and you want to be able to give them the answers that they're looking for. And I think the church, this is not something that the church talks about. And I feel like that's one thing that the Lord has called me to do. I actually had a guy on my podcast a while back. His name is Billy Hallowell, and he is a writer, and he wrote a book on this very topic. It's called Playing with Fire. It's a great book if you've not read it, or for your audience, if they want to check it out. Yeah, it's really good. He goes into demons, exorcisms, all that sort of thing. And he kind of said the same thing, like, whenever you go somewhere where there has been like demonic activity, because this stuff is real, you know, people try to downplay it, but this stuff is real. And even after these things have happened, that there are eyewitnesses to seeing some of these things, people still try to downplay it. Like, it's something that's just too crazy. And that's what the enemy loves. And I think specifically, if somebody comes to me and they ask me about, like, what does it say in the Bible about it? Well, there's a verse in Ephesians 5:11. It says, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. And so I think what the church needs to do a better job of is like equipping people to be able to expose this stuff to where we're not even dabbling with it like at all. You know, I'm not saying you can't look at horror movies or whatever like that. Because me and my wife, you know, we watch scary movies like that. And if she was down to go to haunted houses, we might go to one. But she's, she's too scared. So,
right. I understand that.
But it's just one of those things you need to be aware of for sure.
Right. And on that note, friends, after this episode, definitely go check out Donovan's podcast. I've been listening to the past couple episodes, and now that I'm talking to you in person, they actually are very, very helpful. And this is a man that's definitely called by the Lord. So definitely go check that out. Follow him. I'll leave a link in the description. That's an interesting topic. I didn't know that you did that. So I will definitely go check that episode out. But yeah, on that note, I feel like any sort of entertainment, it doesn't just have to be demon, you know, possession type things, any sort of entertainment, we need to go at it knowing that that filmmaker or that author has a worldview that they are trying to impress on you. You know, that's what a good storyteller does. They have a worldview, and they don't preach it to you up front, but they have a worldview that they kind of want you to dabble in a little bit.
Yeah.
Or bad, that can be a positive or negative thing. But if we go at it understanding that these people, their job is to tell a compelling story and to get you thinking, like that's what they do. And if we go at it, no matter what it is, we look at rom-coms. I think I think one of the main reasons why people are failing is because they have this idea that it's all, you know, sunshine and roses all the time.
Because that's what
people on TV say it is. So everybody has a worldview, and if we go at it just thinking, oh, it's just a movie, that's really dangerous. That's how you can fall to that. So that's a really good point.
I think downplaying it too is a big deal, but I think we can overplay some of this stuff too, because the enemy is real, and the enemy obviously does have a level of power, obviously, but we serve a God that is greater than anything that the enemy could ever. It's like it says in 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And I think one thing that the enemy works his way into our mind and into our thoughts through these type of movies is that he is so much more powerful than he actually is. And in all reality, God is so much more powerful than he is. It's not even a close race, but he tries to put that into our mind that it's an even matchup, like him against God. And it's like, it's not even close. So I think when you look at exorcism specifically, like in movies, a lot of times they're depicted as like, you have to have a priest or something come in there, sprinkle the holy water, you know, have the crucifix and all that stuff. But I think when we have the Holy Spirit in us, and I just want to preface this before I say this, because I don't have all the answers. You know, I'm just an average guy. I didn't go to seminary or anything like that. I'm just a guy that loves the Bible. I love the Lord. And I try to do everything that I can to point people to him and, you know, try to stay heavy in the word and in prayer. But I believe that when I say like we can like overplay these things, I think you don't have to have all these requirements when it comes to like an exorcism. Like if a person really is demon possessed, I believe that the Holy Spirit that is inside of us is the same Holy Spirit that's in the Bible, right? It's the same Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
Right. So we have power over any demonic force, right? Because of the shedding of Jesus' blood. So I think if you know, and I'm not saying go seek out a demon possessed person, but I think that if you really came in contact with a person that is demon possessed, I believe that any one of us, if we are like walking diligently with the Lord and we are in the word every day and we have a close relationship with him, I think that is something that like you or me could cast out. Like, I don't think you have to have a priest out, you know, it's not as major and it's not as blown up as they show it in movies. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. Cause a lot of times, like you said, they make it seem like it's a fight, you know, the priest has to fight against the demon possessed, but that's not true.
No,
it's not. And I heard something interesting today. You know, a lot of people probably listening are thinking, okay, but those are for like people that can cast out devils. Those are the better Christians. You know what I'm saying? Like they are the people that are further in the walk with God. When really, let's take a step back and think about this. Okay. Jesus says that we're the vine and he is the branch. Or he is the vine, we are the branches. Sorry, that's my bad. Got that messed up.
Yeah.
You never see the vine or the branch of a grape vine struggling to produce the grapes if it has a strong vine.
Yeah.
You know, we oftentimes think that we have to do the works. We have to be the one to continue our walk with God and get to that strong point to where we can do stuff like that. When really, the whole point of that illustration is God is our strength. It's through the name of Jesus that we do that stuff.
That's good.
Yeah. And if we have a strong vine, which we do, we have the strongest vine, then we don't have to worry about getting to a point. We don't have to worry about becoming a good Christian, because if we are abiding in the vine, we are a good Christian. What I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. But I think that's what the enemy tries to do, right? He tries to put these thoughts in our head. Like, this stuff is too big for you. This stuff is overwhelming for you. So you just need to just don't try to get further in your faith. Don't try to grow, because this stuff is too big for you. You don't need to try to pick up your cross and follow Jesus, right? Because you can't handle what I'm going to be able to throw at you, right?
Yeah.
He tries to put these thoughts in our head that it's not even worth, you know, our time. But, you know, God is just, he's so much more powerful than the enemy. And I think the enemy does such a good job. He uses the same tricks. He's used them since the beginning of time. He tries to question the Lord's authority. I mean, if you look back in Genesis, whatever verse it was, I think it's like 1:26 or something like that. Or it might be a little bit further than that, but that doesn't matter. Whenever the serpent comes to Eve in the garden, up until that point, every time you see the name of God mentioned in the Bible, it says Lord God. the Lord God. And then when it comes to the serpent, the first thing he asks Eve, he says, did God really say that you can't eat from the tree? So automatically he's questioning how strong is the Lord, because, you know, when you are saying, when God calls himself, I am the Lord God, Lord, I'm over all of this.
Yeah.
And right away, the serpent comes and is questioning his authority right away. The first thing he says, did God, he doesn't give God that authority that he so rightly deserves. And he's been doing that ever since then,
yeah.
You know? So it's just understanding this stuff is not as big as they try to portray it in movies. I mean, it is a big deal, but we have the greater power inside of us with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. That is so good. I never realized that. I appreciate you bringing that up. Yeah. So that I actually had a Reddit thread and I asked people what their opinions were, so we can kind of see where other Christians, because me and you, we have that same idea where we don't think it's a good idea, right? Like, we don't think it's not something to go into. But I asked some people and some of them actually had some reasons why you should watch them.
Yeah.
So the majority of the things that people say, like, to say it's okay, is that it does point out the strength of Satan and, like, the actual real battle. You know, it shows the battle that we have as Christians, which is a real battle. Like, that is a valid argument. But to combat what they're saying, it gives it too much power,
and
which is exactly what you were saying. So the idea that, you know, it's healthy because it shows that we're actually fighting a battle between good and evil, that's true. But the idea that evil even stands a chance,
it's not close. And
no.
And, you know, this stuff, I try to use everything from a lens, and I know that you're the same. I've listened to several of your episodes, and I know that you would agree that we try to look at everything through a Christian biblical worldview, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, the word tells us, I can't remember what book of the Bible, and I think it's in 1 Thessalonians, I want to say, to abstain from all appearances of evil.
Yeah.
So not even to go near it, not even mess with it, not even open yourself up to that kind of thing, because I do agree that we have the greater power. But if you're not firm in your faith, if you're not firm in your relationship with God, and you open yourself up to this stuff that you're not really sure about,
yeah,
like, that's when the enemy can pounce on you if you're not firm in your faith, and he can really do damage to you, make you question God, make you question your relationship, question whether or not you actually, you know, have been redeemed. And so if you are someone who is interested in that kind of thing, I would definitely say just make sure that your faith is strong and you are confident in who you are as a child of Christ. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I would absolutely agree with that. But also, something that goes along with that, if we're sitting here having this conversation, if we're having this conversation on whether it's okay or whether it's not, and I'm not going to say that this is, you know, 100% fact, because there are things in my life that I'm sure, you know, just the idea that I like scary movies, automatically,
right,
some people are kind of like, eh, I don't know about that. But when it comes to stuff like this, or when it comes to stuff like purity and stuff like that, the idea that we have to sit down and have this conversation about whether it's okay or not, there are clearly people that oppose it. And the Bible says not to be a stumbling block.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's just an idea. That's not, you know, something that I think is 100%, you know, cemented, that you shouldn't watch it because other people might stumble. There's people that stumble at the idea of, you know, I heard somebody say that one time they thought that caffeine was evil. So
yeah,
there's people that stumble at that. But just the, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I didn't mean it. Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, the idea that we have to sit down and have this conversation, it automatically, it shows that there are weaker people out there that it might be okay for you.
Yeah.
If it's going to cause a brother to stumble, is it worth it? That's the question that we have to think about when it comes to this stuff. Go ahead. Yeah. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say, we don't need to look and focus so much on what somebody else is doing, because at the end of the day, we're all fallen.
Exactly.
Like, we're all sinful. We're all right now in this fallen flesh. And so we don't need to put so much stock into what other people are doing, because, like, for me personally, like my family is against like scary movies and stuff like that. So they won't even like my mom and dad. Well, not my dad, but my mom, especially growing up. And so she's anytime we bring up like a scary movie or something like that, she's not, you know, happy
Into it,
about it. And
right?
it's just like personal, that's where personal conviction comes in, right?
Yeah.
And I just don't think we need to put so much stock in worrying about so much of what somebody else is doing, because at the end of the day, not to get morbid, but like the Bible says, there comes a time appointed man comes to die, and then after this, the judgment, right?
Yeah.
So when we stand before the Lord, we can't say, well, you know, I messed up because I was just following after so and so. You know,
Yeah,
they were
nope.
doing it. They said it was okay to do, so I figured it was okay. Well, he would have been, well, that's no excuse. You know, so you need to, you know, model after Jesus, not model after, you know, Ben or Donovan.
Yeah, and that's that. Yeah, that's exactly right. And you know, that's easy for us to say as people, not that we're anything great, obviously, but people that
Yeah.
are firmly, yeah, you know what I'm saying,
Oh
but
yeah.
people that are firmly, you know, planted, we are firmly planted in what we believe. So for us to say that is very, very true, that we shouldn't be looking at other people, that doesn't change the fact that people are looking at us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The weaker Christians, the people that are new to Christianity, are looking to other Christians to see, okay, how do I do this? And
Yeah.
I
Oh yeah,
think
that's
that's,
true.
I think that's where personally,
Yeah, well,
and
that's.
there's things in my life that I know to other people, they don't think is right. You know what I'm
Yeah.
saying?
Oh,
But
yeah.
honestly, profanity in movies, there's people that I know that can handle other things more than they can handle profanities. Honestly, as long as they're not overly taking the Lord's name in vain, profanity in film or read while I'm reading doesn't usually bother me. And I don't like listening to it in music and stuff like that. I think that that's a whole different ballpark.
Yeah.
But stuff like that's what I'm trying to say is, if people look to me, I want to try to show God more than I show anything else. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And when people were looking at Daniel, and Dan, I can't even remember where it is, but nobody found aught against Daniel. And I honestly, where I'm standing right now, I don't know if that would be the verdict that people would come to if they looked at me, whether that's true, like whether people are talking about, you know, caffeine's evil and I drink caffeine,
Yeah.
or whether there's something else in my life, you know. And I'm trying to get, I'm not perfect at this, but I'm trying to get to a place where if anybody like you, anybody that I'm walking down the street and just have a conversation with, it'll take hard press to not find aught against me, because it's possible. Daniel was a person like us, you know what I mean?
Oh,
David
yeah.
was a person who was a fallen sinner, yet nobody could find aught against him. How is that possible? And that's just something that I've been convicted with lately. Even though I don't dabble in these exorcism movies, I don't think that's right. But there's other places in my life personally that I know that maybe somebody like a weaker Christian wouldn't be able to handle it. So where does that leave? Where do you think that leaves the person? Because you talked about free will. This is a completely, we're kind of going off the rail here, but
No, go
I
ahead.
want to talk about this because this is good. Where do you think that leaves the person who needs to be the example? Because like I said, I can handle certain things in films that other people can't.
Yeah.
So then where do you think God falls on what you're doing? Insert your opinion on that.
I wish I had the verse off the top of my head, but there's a verse in the Bible where basically Paul talks about teachers are held to a higher standard. And
Yeah.
I don't consider myself a teacher. I know you probably don't consider yourself a teacher either. I mean,
No.
you might, but here's the thing about it. Anytime that you step forward and you are willing to put your name out there in terms of like what you're doing with your podcast, it doesn't matter if you have one person listening or a million people listening to you, and you are telling them something about the word and it's something that they're listening to and maybe they're not as knowledgeable, you're teaching that person something. And so you're held to a higher standard. So it just, like I said earlier, like abstain from all appearances of evil. It is a slippery slope because it doesn't matter what you do in your life. If you're doing, like, say that I'm chewing bubble gum and one person says that there's not a problem with it, but then the other person does. You know, everybody is going to have differing opinions about everything. That's just human nature. But I think where what it ultimately, like, what it comes down to is like your relationship with Jesus Christ. if you know that you are walking in step with him the best that you possibly can,
Yep.
that's when you have to trust your relationship with him, trust your relationship with the Holy Spirit, that he is going to work inside you, that if you're doing something wrong, he's going to nudge
He's
to,
going to point
you
it
know,
out.
He's going to nudge in your heart. Because I've had several people say stuff to me about listening to Christian rap music. I've had people
Yeah,
saying,
I have
you
that
know,
conversation all the time, and I don't understand why it's like,
I
I don't
don't know.
understand why it's wrong is what I'm
Yeah,
saying, stuff
and
like that.
it's, Christian rap, you know, I've had people, I'll post a quote by a pastor. And I mean, I just had that happen the other day. This man posted a picture of a book that somebody had sent him, and he was excited because somebody encouraged him, sent him a book. And it was a book by Tony Evans. And I commented on there and I said, you know, hey, I love Tony Evans. You know, that's a good book or whatever. And then somebody commented on right after me. And he's like, what do you love about Tony Evans? Because he's a false teacher and all this other stuff.
What?
And and that's a whole nother topic. But there's, I just say all that to say, there's always going to be somebody that says what you're doing is wrong. But that's when you ultimately have to trust your relationship with the Lord. If you know that you are in the Word as much as you possibly can be, and that you are praying as much as, you know, as much as you can be, and seeking first the kingdom and seeking a relationship with Jesus, then that's just where that faith aspect comes in, I feel like.
Yeah, and I agree with that. Like, if you're abiding, because like you said, there's people can find a fault with whatever you do. We just hit 8 billion people in the world just recently. Somebody is going to find fault with literally anything you do. If you can, but if you're positive that what God, like you're walking with God and you have a relationship, that's the thing about Christianity, and you know this. It's a relationship. Like you have experienced that relationship. So if there's something breaking apart that relationship, you'll know. Like relationships don't just all of a sudden one day you wake up and you're like, oh, okay, they're out of my life. Like there's signs that that relationship is cracking.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
If we don't look out for that, you know, no matter what anybody else says, let's just forget that people are looking at us for just one second. If we start fading away from what God wants for us, then that relationship is going to start cracking. And if we're not paying attention, if we're so focused on making our superficial outside look like what everybody wants, you know, don't chew bubble gum, don't listen to Christian rap, whatever, you know, stuff like that, then our relationship with God isn't as strong as it used to be, because we're so worried about what other people think of us that we're not actually asking, okay, God, what do you think about this?
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
I think
And,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, to take that a step forward too, it's like the verse says in James, where draw near to God and he will draw near to you. I love that what you said about the relationship, because that's so true. It's like me with my wife, like I know the kind of things that are going to make my wife upset, right? I know the kind of things that my wife likes. And so
because you're in a relationship with her.
Exactly. And when you have that relationship, you're not going to try to do something to hurt the relationship or hurt their feelings. You're going to try to walk in step with him. That's the same relationship that we have with Jesus. Like, we're not trying to hurt his feelings. We're not trying to break his heart. We're trying to, you know, walk in step with him. And that's the same way with any relationship, not just like marriage, but like friendships and stuff like that. You know what makes that person upset, or you know what they're rocking with or what they're not about. You know what I'm saying? So, the closer that we get to God, you know, we want to have the heart and the mind of God, right? And the more that we're in his word, and the more we're seeking after his will, our thoughts become his thoughts, right? And it's like his ways, obviously, like I said earlier, like we're in our fallen flesh, we're in this fallen state. So it's never going to be perfect, but you know, that's just where that daily process of sanctification comes in.
No, yeah, I absolutely love that. And the fact is, that's why it's so good to make relationships around you, because, you know, even relationships, obviously be careful with these relationships, but relationships with people that are unsaved, not as in you're yoking yourself together with them, but you're like, they would consider you a friend, because then you can understand what makes them tick, and you'll understand, you know, what would offend them. Paul says, okay, there's nothing wrong with eating meat, you know, when he talks about that whole thing.
Yeah.
What's interesting is Paul talks about our relationship with God first. He says, there is nothing wrong with this. God, you are not held to a moral, you know, standard to eat or not eat this meat.
Right.
That is between you and God. However, with the relationships around you, read the room. It's like, you know, when people say read the room, you know, look at look at who you're around. If it's going to offend that specific person, don't do it in front of them. You know, have a, I think that's how Daniel, he wasn't, what do you call it? Nobody could find a fault in him because he knew where to do what, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He knew where it would be okay to eat the king's meat if he wanted to, but he knew that it wouldn't have been a good testimony for other people. So he didn't eat the meat and he came out stronger because he trusted God that, cause there was nothing wrong with that, but he trusted God that, no, he doesn't have to understand it all.
Mm-hmm.
He trusted God that God would provide, and he came out stronger from that. And I think with this conversation of demonic, you know, I'm going to call it demonic, like it is a romanticizing of that.
For sure.
Know? Yeah. So when we're romanticizing these demonic exorcism stuff, it might not be bad for you as long as you go into it knowing that there is a worldview trying to be pushed on you. You know, because that's true. No matter what you're doing, there is a worldview trying to be pushed on you. And if you can separate yourself from that, great. Maybe it's not a sin for you. I'm not saying that it is a sin to watch it because that is not in the Bible.
Yeah.
But what I am saying is that be careful. And if it's going to make someone stumble, is it worth it? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And I'm sorry. Go ahead. You were flowing. Go ahead.
I'm going to say that. And that also, like, at the end of your life, you're not going to be judged by, okay, you didn't watch demonic exorcism movies, and I told you it was okay. God's not going to be like that. But he will say, you let someone stumble, and because of that, their blood is on your head. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I've heard it said before, and I think it's good. I've used it a couple times on my podcast just because I think it's a good quote, is that the non-believer is going to believe and trust in a Christian before they believe and trust in Christ.
Wow. I love and that.
Because it's they're looking at our life like we're held to a higher standard because, you know, like it or not, we're held to a higher standard because we are Christians, because everything that we say, every move that we make, people are looking at because they want to see us stumble, because we are different than the world, right? We're in the world, but we're not of the world.
Absolutely.
And so the enemy definitely works in the non-believer's heart in a way to say, look at the Christian to see what he's doing. Like if he or she is messing up, and then I try to go to that non-believer and I'm trying to invite them to church, or I'm trying to talk to them about Jesus. They're like, dude, I just heard you cussing yesterday. You know, like I just heard you going off at so-and-so yesterday. Like why should I believe that this Jesus guy makes you any different than anybody else when you're the same as all of us? And, you know, so it's a slippery slope. It's definitely more is asked of the Christian than the non-Christian, obviously.
Oh yeah.
But you know, that's what we need to strive to be. We need to strive to be like Jesus, and it's very countercultural, but you know, Jesus went through all the struggles that we went through. That's why it says in, I think it's Hebrews 4:14 or 15, something like that, that we don't have a high priest that did not go through all the things that we're going through, you know? Yeah. So it's just understanding that.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And I thank you for bringing that up, because that idea that, you know, that what we do does not affect the name of Christ, that's not true.
Yeah.
What we carry that name, Christian. When you call yourself a Christian, or that you love God, that inherently puts a target on your back.
Oh,
no matter what. Whether, I mean, honestly, when somebody says they're a Christian, you want to know what I do as a Christian, as a firm believer in God? I check them. And I look at that. I look at them and I'm like, okay, let me see how you live your life as a Christian.
Right.
And when you're a lost person, you want to, you look at it even harder, because I have the relationship with God. I know that God's real. I'm looking to see if the person is real. That's not what the unbeliever does. The unbeliever is looking to see if Jesus is real. So they're going to see if the person is real through, or they're going to see if Jesus is real through that person.
Yeah.
So no, that's so good. And as I'm going to close out here, cause you have your family stuff, and I'm going to go, it's cold outside right now. I live up in Northern Indiana. So I'm going to go shopping, but I do want to just say that, friends, if you do feel like, and be honest with yourself, you know what I'm saying? If we aren't honest with ourselves and we say, you know, okay, well, it doesn't really matter because it's just a film. It's just a book. It's just a, you know, it's just, it's make-believe. That's not true, because stuff that you listen to, stuff that you watch does affect you. It might not affect you in certain ways, but it does affect you.
Absolutely.
So we just need to be open-minded. And something I love about David, David is my second favorite person in the Bible, you know, excluding Christ.
Right.
Moses would be my first. He over and over again was just so honest with God. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He always was like, God, check my heart. He honestly wanted to know if what he was doing was wrong. A lot of times as Christians, and I don't know, you can probably relate to this as I can too. We say, God, show me where this is wrong, but you know, don't show me this part because I like this part too much. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We almost have on this fake idea that, or that we put on this fake front of God, search my heart, but don't search this part, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, and mom would say, clean my room. I'd be like, okay, mom, I clean my room. She opens up the closet, boom, you know, stuff comes out of the closet.
Yeah.
I mean, when we ask God to search our heart, we oftentimes throw things in the closet. I'm like, okay, God, my heart is clean. Look at it. And then he's like, well, what about what's in the closet? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So absolutely.
Do you have any closing thoughts on that?
Yeah, I would just say, whenever I was younger, my mom used to always tell us that, you know, one taste, one look, one touch, the sin nature that we have causes us to want more. So you might say, well, I'm just going to look at this, whatever it is, you know, scary movie or whatever the case may be, for a moment. But the way that our brain works is, you know how it is. You want more. Like, or I want to see it again. I just want to see a little bit more of that. So I would say just be careful what you open yourself up to, because it is a slippery slope and the enemy can get in there and work in your mind to where you want more, and it just gets bigger and bigger and it's all you think about. You know, you can get consumed with this kind of stuff. So just be careful what you open yourself up to, because once you open up Pandora's box, it's hard to get that thing back shut. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And sin oftentimes, and things in general, when you think that you're getting free, like if you do this, I'll be free. Sin oftentimes has a promise that you'll be free. You'll be breaking from the chains of religion. You know what I'm saying? The problem is sin is a liar. God says that he'll make you free. He'll set you free. God's not a liar. Sin says he'll set you free and you just get trapped. I mean, in that first sin, I'll say this and then I'll let you go. And I really appreciate you being here.
Yeah, man, it's been awesome.
When we were in Awana, did you have Awana where you grew up? It was a Wednesday night church.
It's are you asking like me?
Yeah.
Who else would you be asking? We have Awana here. My kids are actually in Awana.
Yeah. Why not? I love Awana. If you guys have a church around you that has Awana or like a King's Kids or something, definitely go to it, because Awana is just an amazing program.
For sure.
Anyway, they took like the Cut and Adventure and Odyssey like VH or cassette tape.
Yeah.
And first off, Adventures and Odyssey, that's pretty great stuff.
Dude, but, I had you know Paul McCusker? I've had him on my podcast, and the actress that played Connie Kendall, Katie Lee.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Really? Oh yeah, man, I'm gonna have to definitely listen to that. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was a blessing.
So don't do that to Adventures and Odyssey. I deserve a lot more than that. It was this illustration that, okay, let's say you sinned one time and you wrapped the tape around you one time and you broke free and you're like, oh, he's like, now break free. So then you would break free of it. You only wrapped around one time. You know, that was easy. And he's like, okay, so now you see that it's easy to break out of. You do it again and you do it again. And it just keeps wrapping you up. And that sin that promised you that you were going to be free, that thing that promised you, if you're going to watch this, you'll be free from, you know, religion or whatever. Then you'll be free from the God that's binding you. That is binding you. God sets you free. He saves you. And he says, first off, it's clear that that's God set you free, because he's giving you the option after you were already set free to go back to that sin.
Yeah.
And that sin will wind you up. God will set you free and say, okay, it is your reasonable service. It is your reasonable sacrifice, since I saved you, to come and follow me.
Yeah.
You know, when we do something, when we buy something, we want what we paid for. Christ paid for he paid for our sins with his own life. He paid the serious debt. And all he wants is our life. That's a reasonable thing. If he paid for it, he wants every part of your life. So that's just, thank you for this conversation. That's actually really, really.
Yeah. And you saying crazy. That, One of my favorite verses is Galatians 5:1. It says, "For freedom, Christ has set us free. So do not submit yourself again to the yoke of slavery." So, you know, don't submit yourself. Don't be a slave to the sin, because Christ came for a reason to set you free. And like he says in the word, like, he came to give us life and, you know, life abundantly. But the thief, you know, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy the freedom that Christ has, like you said, paid for it. So I think that was perfectly said, dude.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. But that entire book of Galatians, actually, like, friends,
if you
haven't read through Galatians, that is what Galatians is about. You know, the big thing back then was religion. It wasn't a relationship. It was religion.
That's right.
And Paul says, God saved you from that religion. God saved you from the works and the works of your sin. Why are you going back to it? Like, that's a great passage to bring up.
And yeah, Galatians 5 is awesome.
Yeah. And he says, okay, yeah, the enemy wants you to go back to the way you were. And that enemy, that very real enemy, is the thing that we romanticize in these films. And that's why I feel personally, and I feel that we do have some scripture to back up this. Like, we're not coming out of left field saying that we shouldn't indulge in this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be careful. I'm not saying that it's wrong, because there's no, but it does say, but the Bible does say that we need to be careful, and that it's very clear. I mean, you look at all of the demon possessed people in the Bible, and there's people that around the world right now that probably are dealing with demon oppression or possession.
Oh,
right now.
Yeah, a lot, yeah.
A lot of them. It's a real thing.
Yeah, I mean, even like, there's, I don't want to get too big into this because I know we're going to wrap up, but like, demon possession and demon oppression are two, they're kind of similar, but then they're not. Like, even depression, anxiety, all those type things are a form of demon oppression. Like, the enemy puts those things on you, and that's a form of that. So it's like just giving it up to God. And I don't want to go too far into that because I know we're about to wrap it up, but it's just understanding that.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, if you don't mind, we can get into this a little bit. Like, if you have time.
We can go a couple more minutes. Yeah. But I was just to walk that out a little bit. Like, I think sometimes we think that, the only way that a demon is actually around us or a demon is messing with us is like how it is in the movies. Like, the person is demon possessed. They're crazy. Like the man in the Bible who's running around cutting himself. But demons are in all kinds of form, and we don't need to be scared to death thinking a demon is under every single rock, but the enemy does use those type of clouds over us. Like I said, the depression, the anxiety to oppress us. And then that's works of the devil as well. And, you know, those things are real, and we have to, like I said earlier, I believe I said it, that like, we're not unaware of the schemes of the enemy. So I think just trying to live every day with a battle plan, because we all need to be self-aware to know what our weak points are. So then we can address those things and then just avoid all those things together. Because if we have a plan that we know what the enemy is going to come after, then it's something that we can just give up to God, and we can say, well, whatever you try to throw at me today, Satan, like, I've already been planning for it. Like, I already knew this was going to happen. You know, like, I know my weak points. Like, I'm self-aware. I know that through the blood of Jesus Christ, like, I have been set free. So I'm not going to be, like it said in Galatians, held down to that yoke of whatever you're trying to put on me. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. That's powerful, man. I really appreciate you saying that. And to your point, and then I'll say this and then we can get going. But, what you said implies that a Christian can be oppressed by Satan, and that is completely true.
Mm-hmm.
Christians not only can, but they will be oppressed by Satan and his you know, demons.
Yeah.
I don't believe that Christians can be possessed, because we have a greater power.
Right.
But there's definitely different ways. Satan doesn't only possess people. He's smart. He oppresses us. So that's a completely different story. If you're saved here today, we talked about a lot of depression, or not depression, possession.
Yeah.
That's a very real thing, and we need to be careful of that. But also, we need to be careful about the way we just kind of shrug off oppression and depression, anxiety, all of that fear. All of that comes from spiritual oppression, which we battle with every single day.
Yeah, because if the enemy can get into your head for a day, because we have so many opportunities throughout our life, just like right now, you're getting ready to go to the store. You have opportunities to have an impact on somebody in that store. we have impact throughout our day all the time. We don't realize the impact that we actually do have on people. And the enemy, what he's trying to do, especially to us as a Christian, is to get us knocked off of that course where we're trying to be builders of the kingdom. And if he can distract us for just a moment, you never know who you're going to pass in the gas station. You know what I'm saying? If he can get you off course for a day, his goal from the time that we wake up is for us to go. If you're a coffee drinker, you go to Dunkin' Donuts and they don't have the flavor of coffee that you want. So you're going to be bummed out about it all day. And you just say, well, today is just a throwaway day. I'll try again tomorrow. And then something, you know, he's going to bring something up like that all the time. That is his goal, to get you distracted over the silliest, mundane little things, and then waste so much time. You can get stuck in that cycle to where you're wasting a week, and the next thing you know, you're wasting a month. And there's so many opportunities that you could have been used for the kingdom. And I'm not saying that we can't have bad days. Everybody has a bad day, but just try to take a step back and look at the bigger picture. Like, I have impact all the time. I just heard a story the other day about a man who went into a shoe store to buy a new pair of shoes. And while he was in there, he felt the Holy Spirit press on his heart that he needed to share the gospel with the shoe salesman. And so he did. And the shoe salesman ended up giving his life to Christ. And that shoe salesman ended up being D.L. Moody. And D.L. Moody, Moody Bible Institute and all that stuff. Yeah. So you never try to take advantage, be intentional of every single moment. Because if that man would have let whatever distract him from the Holy Spirit telling him, hey, I need to share the gospel with this kid, you know, look at how many lives D.L. Moody impacted because this man had the courage and the boldness in that moment to listen to what the Holy Spirit was telling him.
Man, that's amazing. I I've heard that before, but I always forget it. And that's just so
powerful. It's an awesome story.
And it's all about intentionality. You know what I mean? We have to understand that we are fighting a battle.
Yeah.
And we have to be intentional with the way that we fight it. Cause we're not fighting against somebody who's just throwing all the darts at us at the same time. It's strategic.
Yep.
And we need to be aware of that. And like you said, it can be the most, you know, random thing. I mean, I'm going to the store right now. I might be distracted by the song on the radio or something like that, you know, and Satan does use that. I'm not saying if you're listening to the radio that's spiritual depression, but we just need to be cautious and look around and see that people like us, people that struggle with the things that we do, but they're without what me and you have. There's a lot of people that we don't have to worry about spiritual or not spiritual. We don't have to worry about demon possession because we're saved. Other people don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a big fear of theirs. Somebody that I talked to a little while ago about it, that was a big fear of theirs because they knew they weren't saved. And you don't have anything to fight against it at that point. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And we just need to realize that the world doesn't revolve around us, even though how much I'd like to think that sometimes, you know, when Taco Bell gets my meal wrong, I need to be careful to not be like a jerk about it because people are watching you.
Yeah.
Somebody in a shoe store, who would have thought that when they get saved, they're going to impact so many more people. And to that point, all of those people that D.L. Moody
led to Christ.
Led to Christ. That is on the person that shared the gospels with him record. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yep.
Like,
God's math, that person, one plus, I was just going to say, God's math, 1 + 1 doesn't always equal 2, because that one person that you could have an impact on could have an impact on thousands. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yep. No, that's amazing. I really appreciate that. So, hey, guys, definitely, definitely, if you enjoyed what you heard, which I don't know how you wouldn't, this guy's amazing, go check out his podcast, okay? Called Ag Podcast. Hey, do you have any anywhere they can follow you or talk to you?
Yeah, my email is DonovanLJones1994@gmail.com, and that's Donovan, DonovanDonovan. A lot of people always have a hard time spelling my name. And then on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, it's all called Hacked Podcast. But yeah, this has been awesome, dude. Like I said, I've listened to several of your episodes. How old are you?
I am 17 years old.
17. That's awesome, dude. I just want to send you a word of encouragement because I started my podcast in February. And through the months since I've had it, I've met so many people that have a fire in their heart for Christ and they're trying to do more for Christ. And I've met so many younger people You know, society right now is trying to tell us like that the youth doesn't want to have anything to do with Jesus. But I think that it's just the opposite. Like the youth are waking up and they're saying, you know what, my faith is real. I need to pick up my cross and follow Jesus and try to do what I can for him. So, like, I know that it gets hard. I know that the enemy tries to throw a lot of things at us, but what you're doing is needed. What you're doing, you know, like God is all over it, and you just need to keep doing what you're doing because you never know who you're going to impact. Like I said, it doesn't matter if you're reaching one person or 1,000, you never know who that one person is going to be. You know what I'm saying? So don't stop what you're doing because it's very much needed.
I appreciate it, man. Definitely, we're going to do this again sometime if that's okay with you. If you,
you're going to have to come on mine.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, it's that time of the week again, guys. I'm so glad that you tuned in. Thank you for tuning in till the end, by the way. I hope that conversation was as encouraging as it was to you as it was to me. That was a confusing way just to say I hope you enjoyed it. I just thank you for tuning in. Definitely go check out Donovan. Great guy. And I'm going to put in a little plug here. If you are listening and you have a podcast or you think you have a story that you'd like to share with others, definitely contact me. There's so many different ways to contact me down below in the description. I would love to see if you could come on and maybe there's something that you'd like to talk about in front of this audience. That'd be great. So no matter if you have a podcast, no matter if you even think you have an interesting story, definitely just hit me up if you're interested in it at all. So without further ado, guys, I will see you next week. Thank you for tuning in. God bless. And as we end off yet another episode, I want to remind you of John 3:16. For God so loved the world, that's you, that's me, you can put your name in there, that he gave his only begotten son. Don't forget that you are loved by God. Don't let anybody tell you that you are not worth it, because you were worth enough that Jesus Christ bled and died on the cross for you. And don't forget, you can follow me on Instagram and DM me with any questions, comments, or concerns you might have on this episode, and I will gladly get back to you as soon as possible. So until next time, God bless.